Message today is going to be taken from the book of Romans. I'm going to speak to you from Romans chapter 1. I'll be speaking from the first four or five verses of Romans chapter 1. Let me read it to you. And why don't you get your Bible and follow along as I read and bring the message today. I'm going to speak on the subject, the everlasting gospel. The everlasting gospel. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, the scripture says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God. Now, the first thing I notice, and you will too if you look carefully at the Scripture, the first thing I notice when I read this passage of Scripture from Romans 1, verse 1, is that the true servants of God are not fond of titles. They're not fond of personal recognition. Paul starts out saying, Paul. He's the writer of this epistle. And he doesn't call himself Dr. Paul. He doesn't call himself Reverend or the Most Reverend or even Father. It's just Paul. That's all. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, even Moses was simply Moses. All the way through the Scripture talks about Moses said this and Moses did that. And John the Baptist replied to those who asked his pedigree and his office, he replied in this fashion, I'm a voice. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight a highway for our God. And you know, Isaiah sums up the glory of man and the pride of man. Here's what he says about it. Isaiah says in chapter 40, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the field. And the grass will wither, and the flower will fade away, but the word of the Lord shall endure forever. So it's Paul. And he does identify himself, though, in a threefold way. I want you to notice how he identifies himself. He says in that verse 1, Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that word, servant, it comes from Exodus chapter 21, verse 1 through 6. You'll enjoy reading this if you'll jot that down, Exodus 21, 1 through 6. And the word is bondservant, bondservant. Now here's where that originated. A Hebrew, if one of the Hebrew men became a bought servant or slave, in other words, if he got deeply in debt and couldn't pay, or some other problem arose, and he sold himself into servitude or slavery, he only served 6 years. That's all he could serve, is 6 years. On the seventh, he'd go free. But now, if he loved his master, this is what Scripture says in Exodus 21, if he says, I love my master, and I love my master's family, and I love to work for him, so I'm going to stay on, not unwillingly, but willingly. I'm going to stay on. And so the priest would take him down to the temple and bore his ear. And he would be a bondservant. And that means he was a willing, loving servant. He was there because he wanted to be. And that's the name that Paul takes for himself. He said, I'm a servant. I'm a willing, loving servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, secondly, identifies himself this way. He says, I'm called to be an apostle. Now, in Israel, there were three offices, prophet, priest, and king. And no man, the scripture says, no man takes any of these three offices upon himself but he that's called of God. In other words, no man volunteered to be a prophet or a priest or a king. Only the ones God chose. And God made them prophets. He made them priests. He selected them and chose them, and he made them kings. You remember, Israel wanted a king. And so the Lord told Samuel, so well, let them have a king. And they appointed one called Saul. And he was a terrible, terrible, terrible king, terrible failure. God Almighty rejected him. And he said, David, I appoint David as the king. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, our Lord, when he ascended back to heaven, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors. Men don't take these offices. They don't covet these offices. They are God appointed and God ordained. All prophets, apostles, missionaries, and pastors are God ordained and God chosen. And that's what Paul says. First, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm called to be an apostle. And then thirdly, he says, I'm separated to the gospel of God. I'm obsessed with the gospel. I'm separated to the gospel of God. You know, before God revealed Christ to the Apostle Paul, he was called Saul of Tarsus. And he was obsessed with ceremonies. He was obsessed with the law and legalism. He was obsessed with traditions, the traditions of men. He was obsessed with laws and holy days and ritualism. And he despised Jesus Christ. Now he writes in Philippians and says, oh, that I might win Christ and be found in him. No longer obsessed with traditions and form and ceremony and ritualism, but now obsessed with Christ, separated to the gospel. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Yes, before God revealed Christ to the Apostle Paul, he hated the gospel. He hated the gospel of Christ. You know what he said one time? He said, I thought that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. He despised. And even when God met him on the road to Damascus, when Christ revealed himself to him, he was on his way then to persecute God's people, to take them to prison who believed on Christ. And after God revealed himself to the Apostle Paul, here's what he said. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a difference. What a difference. Once he hated Christ, and now he loves him, preaches him. And he says this, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And he said again, necessity is laid upon me. I must preach the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So, here's the way Paul identifies himself. He says, I'm a servant. I'm a bondservant, a willing, loving bondservant of Jesus Christ. And he called me. He called me to be an apostle. He put me in the ministry. He put me in the ministry. That's right. I obtained mercy. And he says, I am separated to, and I'm dedicated unto, and I'm obsessed with the gospel of God. There is but one gospel. Paul calls it the gospel of God. You see it there? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. It's God's gospel. He said in Galatians 1, there's not another gospel. There's not two or three gospels. There's only one gospel. And if any man preach any other gospel than that gospel which I preached unto you, let him be accursed. He said, I'll say that again now. I'll say it again. I'll say it more positively and powerfully. If any man, even if it's an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than the gospel which I preached unto you, let him be accursed. There's just one gospel. And Paul said, I'm separated to that gospel, and it's the gospel of God. Why is it called the gospel of God? He's the author He's the author and finisher of our faith. Let me give you a four-point outline here. Listen to me. The gospel is the gospel of God because He planned it. It originated with God before the foundation of the world. In 2 Timothy 1:9, the apostle wrote these words, God saved us. God had saved us, and God called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. God planned salvation. He purposed it. He made Christ our surety. He made Christ our Redeemer. He gave us to Christ, chose us in Christ before the world began. And then it's God's gospel in that He executed it. What do you mean executed it? He carried it out. He executed it. The Jews delivered Christ to the Romans to be crucified, because it was against their religion to crucify a man. So they delivered Him to the Romans to be crucified. And Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Romans and the Gentiles and the Jews all conspired together to nail Jesus Christ to the cross. But it was God. They did what God determined before to be done. That's right. That's in Acts chapter 4. It says, Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Jews and the Gentiles and the people of Israel and the priests all got together to do what their wicked hearts wanted to do, but to do what God determined before to be done. That's right. Isaiah said, we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He says in verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin. That's right. God did it. These people were the human instruments that carried out the crucifixion of Christ, but they did what God said they would do and what God purpose for them to do. And in Acts 13, the scripture says, when they fulfilled everything that was written of Him in the Old Testament, it took Him down from the tree. That's right. And then thirdly, listen, God planned salvation. God carried it out. He executed it. And then God applies it. It's God who applies salvation. It's God who quickens us, who calls us. It's God who reveals the gospel to us. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, you know this scripture. You can quote it. It says, but of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's God that gave us to Christ. When it pleased God, Paul said this in Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and He called me by His grace, and He revealed His Son in me. God did that. It's applied by God. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And whom He predestinated, He called. And whom He called, He justified. And whom He justified, He glorified. Now, what shall we say to these things? Well, I say, if God be for me, who can be against me? And Christ our Lord said to those Pharisees, they said, well, we know you're a carpenter. We know you're Joseph's son. We know Mary. We know your brothers and sisters. How come you say that you came from heaven? Now, He said, let me tell you something. You listen to me. No man can come to me, believe on me, receive me, love me, except my Father which sent me, draw him. It's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God, and every man that hath learned of the Father, he cometh unto me. That's right. It's the Father who planned salvation. It's the Father who sent Him to the cross. It's the Father who applies it and calls us. And listen to me. It's the Father who sustains us. We're not kept by our own power and strength and faith. No, sir. You don't keep yourself saved. We have been saved by the grace of God. We're being saved by the grace of God. And our salvation is nearer than when we believe. But we're not kept by our own strength and power. Listen to the scripture. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Not without faith. Not apart from faith. But through faith. Listen to Jude's doxology. Now unto him. Now unto him. Who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, blameless, holy before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, praise, and honor forever and ever. Salvation's of the Lord. In its planning, it's of the Lord. In its execution, it's of the Lord. In its application, it's of the Lord in its sustaining power and value, and it's of the Lord in its perfection. That's right. The only one who can raise you from the dead is God. The only one who can take you to glory and make you like Christ is God. Salvation's of the Lord. It says in Philippians 1:6, I'm confident, Paul said, of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you, who? He, God, who hath begun. It's not finished yet. It won't be finished till we stand in the likeness of Christ. As David said, I'll be satisfied when I wake with his likeness. He that hath begun a good work, where? In you. Not just for you, but in you. He'll finish it. He'll perfect it. He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, Paul says, I'm separated to that gospel, the gospel of God. It's the everlasting gospel. And in verse 2, he said it's the gospel of the Old Testament believers. It's the gospel of the prophets of old. Look at verse 2. I'm separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before by the holy prophets in the scriptures. Abraham rejoiced, Christ said, to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. He said to his son, Abraham did, God himself will provide a lamb. That's right. Moses wrote of me, Christ said. If you'd have believed Moses, you'd have believed in me because Moses wrote of me. Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth. He'll stand on this earth and I'm going to see him. David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Have you read Psalm 22, David's Psalm 22? That's the Psalm of the cross. Read it. Read it today. It starts out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He talks about they pierce my hands and my feet. He talks about they compass me about and shoot out their lips and laugh at me. He talked about they cast lots for my vesture, for my robe. It's all there in Psalm 22. It's the Psalm of the cross. This gospel is the ancient gospel. It's the only gospel. It's the everlasting gospel. Isaiah said, listen, the Lord will give you a sign. He wrote this hundreds of years before Bethlehem. The Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. That's right. Emmanuel, God with us. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It's the ancient gospel. It's the everlasting gospel. He was buried and rose again according to the scriptures. That's what the Old Testament's all about, the coming of Christ. What is this gospel under which Paul is separated? What is this gospel of God, this everlasting gospel? What is this gospel of the scriptures in promise, prophecy, and type? Look at that next line. In Romans 1, verse 2 and 3, it's the gospel concerning his son. The gospel concerning his son. My friends, the sum and substance of the gospel of God is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole gospel is included in Christ, who he is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now. And as a person, preacher, or whomever, As a person removes one step from Christ, just one step from Christ, Jesus, he departs from the gospel. For the gospel is concerning his Son. Look at this next line. The gospel of God is concerning his Son, who was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. The gospel concerns his humanity. The Son of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, tempted, tried, tested in all points as we are, yet without sin. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. So this gospel is concerning Jesus Christ, who was made what he wasn't. He was made flesh. He was made a man. He was made of the seed of David. He was born to Israel. Now what's the next line? The gospel is concerning his Son, who was made flesh and made according to the seed of David. But he was declared to be the Son of God. He wasn't made the Son of God. He was made a son of man. He was made flesh. He was made a man. But he was declared to be what he is, the Son of God. Now, I don't have the time nor the patience nor the desire to debate the doctrine of the Trinity, because it's so clearly stated in the Word of God. I and my Father are one. That's pretty clear. If there's a Holy Father, there's a Holy Son. If there's a Holy Son, there's a Father. And I and my Father are one. That's clear. Christ said, I will pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. So there's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And John says there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And these three are one. God is one God, and yet he's revealed in the Scripture as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ is declared to be what he is, the Son of God, according to the Holy Spirit, by the resurrection of the dead. The Holy Spirit conceived him in the womb of the Virgin. The Holy Spirit anointed him for his work as mediator. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me. He hath anointed me. The Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. That's right. Acts 17:31, God has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given all men notice. He raised him from the dead. This gospel of God, this ancient gospel, this everlasting gospel, is concerning his Son, who was made flesh of the seed of David and declared to be the Son of God. Who is Jesus Christ? The seed of David, the tribe of Judah. He's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. He's the God-man. And two things must be found in him if he's to be your Savior and my Savior. Two things. He's got to be God. He's got to be a man. What did he do? He put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. I want you to turn to Hebrews 1. I want to read you about who he is and what he did. This gospel is concerning who he is and what he did, where he is now. It says here in Hebrews 1, verse 2, God, who spake to our fathers by the prophets. He spake about this gospel. He revealed the gospel of the coming Messiah to our fathers by the prophets. He has spoken to us in these last days, and we're in the last days, have been since Calvary. We're in the last days of the last days too. He has spoken to us by his Son, who was made flesh and dwelt among us. His Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. His Son, by whom he made the worlds. His Son, who's the brightness of his glory. His Son, who's the exact image of God himself. He said, you've seen me, you've seen God. His Son, who upholds all things by the word of his power. Listen now, when he had by himself, without any aid or help or assistance, by himself and by the sacrifice of himself and by his perfect life and by his ignominious death on the cross, when he had by himself purged our sins, put them away, cast them into the depths of the sea, paid for them, he sat down at the right hand of Almighty God, the Majesty on high, our advocate. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Our mediator is one God, one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Our intercessor, Christ died, rose again, ascended to heaven, and is at the right hand of God and ever lives to make intercession. He's my advocate, he's my mediator, he's my intercessor, he's my high priest. And our high priest, Jesus Christ, entered not the holy place made with hands, but heaven itself, not with the blood of animals, but with his own precious blood, and put away our sin. He's our high priest. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ. And not only that, but he's our forerunner. You know what a forerunner is? It's one who goes ahead and prepares for those who will follow. He's our forerunner. And our forerunner is seated at the right hand of Almighty God in glory. My friends, by man came death, Adam. By man came the resurrection from the dead. The first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, a quickening spirit. The first man is of the earth earthy. The second man is a Lord from heaven. That's the everlasting gospel. If you want that tape, send $2. We'll mail it to you. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.